We are in Life Together in Christ. This is series number 8. Just to explain a little bit of what we're doing, we spent 2 months looking at verses 3 through 14, that deep, rich jewel mine of ideas and thoughts and concepts. And now we move into a 3-week mini-series, if you will, on prayer, because Ephesians 1:15 through 23 is the first recorded prayer of Paul for the church in Ephesus. And so we've just spent weeks, a couple months, celebrating the massive spiritual blessing God has poured out on us in Christ. That was the 3 through 14 series. We are chosen in Christ, adopted in Christ, redeemed in Christ. In Christ, we are forgiven and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit stamp. Now, Paul moves from doctrine, what God has done, to prayer, how we access and experience the depth of what he has done. Paul doesn't just say, you're done. He says, now, I pray for you. Paul doesn't just pray for their health or wealth or comfort. He prays for their spiritual intelligence and insight. Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church and his prayer for us shows that the Christian life demands not just doctrinal knowledge, but divine spiritual enlightenment to truly grasp the magnificent scope of our inheritance in Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God, sovereign Lord, ever since I first heard of Emmanuel's strong faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking you, God, for them. I pray for IBC Madrid constantly, asking you, God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give them spiritual wisdom and insight so that they might grow in their knowledge of God. I pray that their hearts will be flooded with light so that they can understand the confident hope you, Lord, have given to those you have called, your holy people, who are your rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that they will understand the incredible greatness of your power, Father, for those who believe in you. This is your same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at your right hand in the heavenly realms. Now you are far above any rule or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. God, you have put all things under the authority of Christ, and you have made him your head over all things for the benefit of the church. And your church is your body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with yourself. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So that was just an example of taking a scripture and contextualizing it and praying it over you. So today, we're going to cover the first 3 verses, and I'll be in Belgium next week, so Dwayne is going to cover the middle section, the next couple of verses after that, and then I'll come back. And so I was thinking this week, it'll be like a sandwich. I'm the white bread, and he's the jamón, because he's Spanish, right? So the first thought, and I wanted to put up here both the New Living Translation and the ESV. And the reason is I'm going to refer to both of them again because there are strengths in one and then there are strengths in the other, right? The ESV is a literal reading And the NLT is a more common oral reading. And so it's different strengths and weaknesses. But I wanted you to see that what we've already said, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for brothers and sisters everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you mighty. I've been working on it, spiritual power, right? Glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight as you may grow in your knowledge of God. I've been working on memorizing it. Hopefully by the end of the series, I'll have it all memorized. Paul's prayer doesn't start with just a request. It starts with gratitude. So this is the motivation. What's the motivation for Paul's prayer? It's thanksgiving and recognition. And this is looking specifically at verse 15 and 16. A reason for joy. Why? The ESV states, for this reason, and that's one of the reasons why I put it up there, because it's not in other versions, but for this reason is important because it's a bridge statement that Paul uses here, and he uses other places in his writings. And what it means is it's pointing back to what he's already talked about, right? This beautiful, long spiritual blessings that we have from 3 through 14, and then he's also looking forward, okay? So, for this reason is the great truth he's just laid out, our redemption and our being sealed. But he also prays because he has heard of their strong faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for brothers and sisters everywhere. Now remember the context of where Paul was when he wrote this letter. He had spent up to almost 3 years in Ephesus growing these churches. So he knew these people, but somebody had probably brought an offering or support, you know, some in that day when you were in jail, family and friends had to help you out. And somebody came from these churches in nowadays Turkey, and they reported to Paul this wonderful news. So that's what he's saying here, is for the reason I just heard how gracious and how loving and how strong your faith is. Their spiritual condition, which is faith, and their relational condition, which is love, confirm to Paul that they are authentic followers of Jesus Christ. Paul's thanksgiving is not generic. It's specific confirmation that the gospel has taken root in that church and they were following him. True faith is never invisible. It always expresses itself in two ways. Faith toward God and love toward others, right? Go back to the greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? Have faith in God, trust in God, and out of that, we love others. Hebrews 11:1, famous verse, states, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things that we cannot see. Right? It's hope for something we want and we need, and it's evidence of things we can't necessarily see. So I want you to ask yourself this question. Does my life give my pastor or my Christian friends a reason to give thanks for me? Are you the source of gratitude and joy for someone else? Faith finds its focus in Christ and it expresses itself to others. Such outgoing love is the evidence of genuine faith. Paul states it in Galatians 5:6. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. So, B, a consistent commitment. Paul says, I do not cease. I don't stop, right? I continually remember you in my prayers. It's characterized by consistency, by persistence, by continually praying. Paul's prayer life was a disciplined response to God's grace. Our prayer life shouldn't be reserved for just occasional or only emergencies. It should be a sustained act of worship and intercession for others. So throughout the message today, I'll have prayer points. Some questions. Are you consistently in prayer? And when I was writing this next question, I thought, oh my goodness. If you totaled up the minutes you spend in prayer each week, would you be blessed by that information? Or would you be discouraged? Now, this is not to step on your toes or to get on to you. It's not about numbers. Are you spending your time wisely? Are you spending your time on the main thing? Are you growing in wisdom, insight, and knowledge of God? So first, we had the motivation. Second, we have the request. And it's what I just said. The request is for wisdom, insight, and knowledge. And we're going to, I'm going to use insight and revelation as the same word throughout this. This is point two, looking at 17, verse 17a, the beginning. Asking God, Paul says, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight. In the ESV, it says revelation. So that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Paul names the source and content of his deepest desire for them. What's the source? Think back to the summer of Psalms. Every one of them began with what we continue as a constant theme: all praise and glory be to God. It all starts with God. He's the source. Paul addresses God as the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. A beautiful phrase. The glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This title acknowledges God's supreme power. Right? One of those omni words. Omnipotent. All powerful. There is nothing that God cannot do. And as the God who serves Christ, whom Christ serves. This is an important point. Jesus always obeyed and listened to his Father. He always assented to his Father. And he always, as Paul did, talked about the magnificent radiance, the beauty, the glory, the almighty nature of God himself as the source of all glory. So a prayer point here is significance. When we ask God for great things like true spiritual insight, we address him for who he is. Titles that reflect his immense capacity, who he is, Almighty, Glorious Father, King, Lord, Sovereign One, our God and our Father. We are asking the one who created and sustains all things. What are we asking for? Wisdom, insight, and knowledge. So, the content, B, the spirit of insight, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding. Paul's request is specific, that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom. This is not merely intelligence or earthly skill. It's the ability to apply spiritual truth correctly and live accordingly. Okay, that's a definition. It's not mere intelligence or earthly skill. Wisdom is the ability to apply spiritual truth correctly and live accordingly. So ESV uses the word revelation and insight, New Living Translation. This is the divine unveiling, a deep, personal, spiritual-given illumination of truths that the natural mind cannot on their own grasp. Paul wants the believers to move from knowing about God to experiencing and knowing him intimately. healthy person in a healthy church, right? That's what we're moving toward. That's our goal. That's our desire. That's my prayer for you, is that you would just not know more and more about God, though that's important. We need to study. We need to spend the time doing it, but that you would have spiritual wisdom. This unveiling is principally used in the Bible as the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the Word, right? The Word made flesh. Especially a particular spiritual manifestation of Christ, which is his will. It was previously unknown, right? Paul talks about the secrets that are now revealed in Christ. So the veiling is now uncovered and revealed and exposed and can be known by you and me. So here's the prayer point here. You can read a blueprint of a house, and you can know all about its dimensions, size, number of rooms, doors, all of that. And that is knowledge. But you only know its warmth and atmosphere of a home by moving in. That's revelation. That's wisdom. Paul prays for this kind of moving in. So in the Weekly Word this week, I wrote about the 13-inch difference. If you haven't read that, I encourage you to see that. I just wanted to explore a little bit more about knowledge versus wisdom. So imagine that you're standing at the edge of a vast, unfamiliar wilderness. You have a detailed, meticulous map in your hand. The map contains knowledge. The map shows every river, every mountain, every hidden valley, and every well-worn path. It tells you the distance from point A to point B, the elevation gain of a particular ridge, and the location of a safe place. It is a complete collection of facts. You could spend a lifetime studying this map, memorizing every contour and line and every place name. This is knowledge. But then, as Frodo says, you step out the door, right? You go on the journey. You walk the path and the sun beats down relentlessly on you. Your map tells you that 16 kilometers ahead, there is a body of water, a stream, but you're thirsty. Then you come to a bridge, and the map says it's sturdy, but your eyes see that the rotting wood and the fraying ropes are there. Your map shows two ways over a mountain, a long, easy switchback, or a short, treacherous scramble. Wisdom is what you do in the moment. Knowledge is knowing that the stream is 16 kilometers ahead. Wisdom is knowing to ration the half canteen of water that you have left, or to turn and follow the sound of a crow that might lead you to a different well. Knowledge is the fact that the map says the bridge is safe. Wisdom is listening to the inner voice of prudence that tells you to bypass the bridge and find a safer way across the river. Knowledge is seeing the two paths. Wisdom is the skill, the spiritual insight to know which answer to apply and when and how in the unpredictable reality of life. Paul said in Corinthians 13 that we may have all knowledge, but without love, we are nothing. In our own lives, we are often tempted to simply collect more facts, more scripture, more principles. We clutch sometimes tightly to the map. God calls us to more than just having the map. He calls us to ask for the compass, which is Jesus, and the courage to make the hard, right decisions on the journey. He calls us to ask for wisdom, the practical application of his truth to navigate the wilderness of our lives. And the Bible teaches us that when we ask for wisdom, he will give it to us. So the first was the motivation. The second was the request. And the third is the purpose of prayer. Knowing the unknowable. And this is taken from 17b. Paul writes again, prays again, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that for the purpose that you may grow in your knowledge of God. The ultimate goal of this spiritual enlightenment is to deepen our relationship with God. So, knowledge of Him. Paul prays for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The goal is not just to feel smart or spiritual, but to grow in intimacy and depth of relationship with God. I was listening to a podcast, and Dallas Willard said, knowledge is interactive relationship. Knowledge is interactive relationship, putting things into action. The pursuit of God's character and person is the highest form of Christian education. It's the highest form of Christian discipline. Everything else is secondary. So, prayer point here. How often do we pray for a bigger house, a better job, or less stress, but neglect to pray that the Holy Spirit would give us eyes to see and truly know God better? This prayer is a call to deeper prayer. Paul's prayer provides a template for our own intercession. We need to stop only praying surface level needs and start praying Ephesians prayers for our spouses, our children, our team members, our coworkers, and our church. So, I want you to think of someone. Just think of a name of someone you know. The Lord just brought someone to your mind. I want you to, in your mind, pray this prayer. Father, grant, fill in the name, the spirit of wisdom and revelation today, so that they may truly know you better in the midst of their challenge. Amen. A simple little prayer that you can take Paul's prayer, you can take these words and you can pray for those around you to have deeper spiritual knowledge, insight, and ultimately wisdom, which is knowing how to put things into practice. Right? So, activating our inheritance. We have been lavishly blessed. All the jewels and nuggets and beautiful, precious messages that we have in verses 3 through 14. Paul's immediate response out of this is to pray that you and I might realize those blessings by gaining spiritual insight. Verses 15 through 17. So, my challenge this morning. The inheritance is secure, right? We have the passport from Jesus signed in His blood. The Holy Spirit has put His seal of approval on you and me. We are adopted into the family of God. We hold within us and with each other this beautiful inheritance. But the experience of the inheritance requires God's illuminating power. Will you commit today to not just read the Bible, but to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation every time you open it? Right? Every time you open the word, stop and say, Jesus, what do you want me to see? What do you want to unveil? What do you want me to know today about you? And then ask for wisdom to put it into practice. Good questions are, Lord, is there anything you want me to change? Is there any conviction coming in your heart? Lord, is there something I need to stop doing? And then another follow-up question would be, Lord, is there something you want me to start doing out of this? Give me, please, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ask God to show you the depth of what you already possess in Jesus Christ. So, as a benediction, I would say to you, may the God of glory grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.